sun that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light so that I might see. And the light that shines ship would sail no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. King Jesus is that lighthouse. Of sin, He has shone a light around me so that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for that lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around us, they say tear that old lighthouse down. You know the big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. There's no use for 'em standing round. But my mind goes back to that storm. Just in time, I saw the light from that old lighthouse up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. Oh, I owe my life to Him. King Jesus is my lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me so that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for
let's all stand. Amen. I was part of the trip to Ohio. I was going out looking at the lighthouse. That's just a blessing. Amen. Going up in one and looking out even farther is wonderful. Amen. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world. Guide us home. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart holy words of our faith. Hand it down
sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ.
Holy words won't preserve for our walk in this world.
They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God ever true. You believe that tonight?
Changing.
It'll change you.
Changing you.
It'll make you whole. Whatever you need tonight. Let the word do its job. Sing it to him one more time.
Impart
word of God ever true. Changing me, changing you.
We have come with open hearts.
Oh, let the word of God
impart.
Amen. Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you here. We sure appreciate you. Love you with the love of the Lord. We are had a good time Sunday. It was packed full of goodies. And as far as I'm, this coming Sunday, though, we're only having one service. Brother Moses will be here. He's at Brother Martin's tonight, and that's where Brother Luis is with him. And then the next Sunday, which is, I think it's the 31st, we'll have two services just as we did before, or did last Sunday. And I'm pretty sure Brother Joe will do the same thing with the percussion and all that too, because that worked out really good. We need to continue to practice that. Amen. God loves worship. He loves worship, and he gave worship to a man named David one time, and David wrote a whole series of Psalms about it. But what gets me more than anything is that the Bible was written so that someone saw Saul got aggravated, had a bad spirit. He had something on him that he didn't want on him, and he called David. And all it took was one man and a harp. Amen. To drive the evil spirits away. Amen? We think maybe it's prayer, maybe it's this. It could be no more than just an humble person singing a song like our sister did, or playing like our brothers and sisters do here with a humble heart, and that spirit will drive that unclean spirit out. Right. It'll just flee the building. So that's why we love worship, and we love to be in a mode of worship when we get here, and worship with God first, all right, while you're at home. And I know some of you got that new book, and I appreciate it that you just read it. It's I've got about half of it finished. Couldn't put it down this morning. There was a certain point there that we're going to make some points maybe later on in a sermon. But it's really a powerful way to pray. But most of it is pray like a child. Right. Pretty much the whole book, if you start reading it, it'll be pray like a child. Because the child's innocent. Child doesn't know all the going, you know, if a family's having problems and arguments and trials and tribulations against among the adults, the kids just love you anyway, because they have a childlike innocence and a childlike faith. So that's what we need to have, is more of a childlike faith. Then we will not worry about all the grumblings and arguments and all the other garbage that goes on. Just say, God, I love you. You're my Father. I love you. You died for me. And here I am. I'm here. This is yours. Okay? Use me the way you want to use me. Because you know what? We've let the devil use us a lot in our life. Amen? Everybody get amen? Amen. Okay, well, let's start turning it in the other direction. Let's give it all to God, and let's see what he'll do for us. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Revelation 6, verse 5. We'll get started a little on the third seal, but I want to take a little different angle tonight. I was sitting this morning and just looking at some things, and I thought, man, we need to cover that. So we're going to cover it still back into the second seal, all right? So we're going to go Revelation 6, verse 5. And I know we all have needs in our heart that we want God to take care of, so let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much. We're a needy people. Father, we come tonight, Lord, to As the prophet said, Lord, together, our little licks of fire. And Lord, that they'll come together and make a big fire. And it'll drive all the unclean spirits out of the building, Lord. And give us time, Lord, that we can hear from you, Father. That we can meditate. As David said, from the meditation of my heart, Lord, I want to hear from you, Father. So if we come with that attitude, Lord, you will teach us, you'll lead us, you'll guide us into all truth. Father, forgive us of our faults and mistakes. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here tonight, Lord. Maybe some traveling. Brother Luis is down at Brother Martin's with our brother, Lord, and be back here this coming Sunday. We pray that you'd touch them and be with them and bless them. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just remember these announcements. Brother Moses will be here this coming Sunday, regular one service. And then the 31st, there'll be two services with sandwiches in between. And we'll work some more on the percussion work, tambourines and all that. I think it worked out really good, so we'll do that too. And then remember June the 13th and 14th. Looks like we're coming up to, in just about 3 weeks from now, Brother Richard Wilson and Brother Stephen Wilson will be here. And I know most of you that have been here for a while know who Brother Richard and Brother Stephen is. They started in a church in Johnson City, or in Irwin, and then they came down here for about 4 years. They traveled 4 hours every Sunday to come to church. A very nice group of them, 12 to 14 people. And Dad finally looked at Brother Richard and said, you need to be the pastor. In other words, you need, I'll give you some money. You start a church up there. We weren't trying to get rid of them, but that was a hard battle to drive 4 hours to get here and drive back home 4 hours. That was pretty rough. That's really why we had services at 10 and 2 o'clock, was to let people like that go back home. But they started the church, got a wonderful church up there, church family. We love them. We appreciate them. He's one of my fathers in the gospel that I can call, and I know there's some wisdom packed up there. And we appreciate both of them, him and his wife. She's like a mother to us, too. And sweet lady, Sister Janice, but you'll get to see her. Then you'll get to see his children also, Stephen and Scotty. So, and then Brother Andre's coming because he's already said he's going to stay with Brother Joe. And so we got a group of people coming. Brother Harris is coming, bringing some of his people. That would be on Saturday. So let's look forward to that and be in prayer that everything will go well. All right, Revelation 6, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld in the low a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. He threw away the bow. He threw away the sword. He's picked up a pair of balances in his hand. All right? So this is a new scene. It's a scene, but I want you to understand one thing. He doesn't need the bow anymore because the bow was a bluff. All right? The sword was now become not just a word. It became a doctrine. So he didn't need that sword. That sword was already in the people. That word that he preached, I'm talking about the devil, the word was in them now. So he doesn't need that, but he's picked up a pair of balances, and we'll see that a couple of Sundays from now, what that happens to and how that works, because it's a balance, all right? We need to see that. So when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast. Now, what is the third beast? We'll put the chart up here in a minute. The third beast was what? Right? It was the form of a man. So when we get into Revelations, when we get into this third seal, it is the fifth and sixth church ages, which is Luther and Wesley, which is man. It's the time of man. All right? And man is intelligent. All right? Man can hurt you or help you. All right? So, but we'll see all that in just a few minutes or maybe later on. And he had set on him, had a pair of balances in his hand. Now, this is the first time you're going to hear another voice. All right, we'll get into this a little bit next Sunday, a couple Sundays from now. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. Now, that's someone else speaking. That's not the beast speaking, and that's not the lamb speaking. That's someone speaking forth from somewhere. And we know that where Brother Brown tells us, that's the Father speaking from the throne and saying, hey, do not hurt my oil and my wine. Matthew 24, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdoms, and there shall be famine. pestilence, earthquakes in many places, and all these are what? The beginning of sorrows. All right? The beginning of sorrows. You may be seated, and the Lord has his blessing to the reading of the word. So let's go back to the second seal just for a minute and pick up something. I want you to see that we are we're almost at the fourth seal, and at the fourth seal, we know that the fourth seal is the rapture. So during the fourth seal, now listen, seal, not church age, seal. During the fourth seal is the rapture of the church, all right, which covers the last church age that we're in. Is everybody with me? All right. The first seal covers the first two or three church ages. The second seal covers part of the third, the fourth, part of the fifth. Then we're going into fifth and sixth, which is Luther and Wesley. So we'll get into that in a second. But I want to drop back one more time. I want you to see what happened during this time and during this era before. Because remember, this is the dark time of Christianity. This is the time they call the Dark Ages. This is the time that the ox, the second beast, was an ox. All right, so it was a labor. It was if you said you were a Christian, you died. All right, 68 million Christians were put to death because of the doctrine that the Catholics have versus the doctrine of the, at that time, it's not Presbyterian. I mean, it's not Protestant, because they hadn't started protesting yet. But out of that will come the protesting. Out of that will come the restoration of the bride tree. All right. So the second beast is the ox. The red horse was the second seal. The red horse, which always signifies blood. And then also we talked about sanctification. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. But the blood was the blood of the martyrs that were being killed for what they believed in, and it was physical killing. All right? It was physical killing. All right? And then it was also a spiritual killing. All right? And I'll read it to you in a few minutes, where Jesus, he looks at the disciples, and he said, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, the god of this evil age are Brother Brown preaching anointed ones at the end time. That's who he was talking to, and that's what he was talking about. Right. If that light in you that you think is light, if it's darkness, how great is that darkness? Because no one but God himself can bring you out of that. Right. All right? Is everybody with me on that? Right. That's where the deception comes. Because, hey, everybody thinks they have light. Right. Denominations don't think they're wrong, or they wouldn't be there. Right. Okay? But I didn't write the script. God wrote the script. Amen. That there was going to be deception. He was going to let them believe a lie, and he was going to let them be damned by it. Now, if you got a problem with that, you need to talk to him. Okay? Amen. I'm telling you this, but that spirit is so strong. Remember, it deceived in this second church age. It went forth and deceived the whole world. Right. Except for a little bitty group. All right? Which was part of the bride of that day. All right? So the red horse was sanctification, which means cleansed and set aside for service. We'll get, if y'all want to bring that chart up, I'd appreciate it. And power was given. Now, what power was given is God give them power to do things. God gave Satan power to do things. Not he couldn't create, but remember, he can patch out spiritual gifts. He can worship. He can make you feel religious. He can make you feel like that it's God speaking to you. Yep, right. Amen? That's what the devil does. Amen. So power was given because, listen, there has to be a contrast. For God to be a righteous judge, he has to give you a choice. I don't know where anybody can get away from predestination by choice. All right, predestination by choice. He said, well, Brother Wade, predestination means predetermined destiny. Yes, exactly, but he foreknew. That's right. The Bible says the first thing he did was foreknew. So by foreknowledge, knowing beforehand what was going to happen. Listen, if you know what's going to happen tomorrow, you can just write it all down. Right. If you knew exactly, if you could see what was going to happen from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning at your job or wherever you're at, then you could write it down and you just went through the motions. Right. But thank God we don't have that. Right. But God does. He knows the end from the beginning. Why would he let us go through some of these things? Why? Because the trials and tribulations is what to do one thing. It's supposed to drive us back to God. All right? Trials and tribulations to drive us to God, not drive us to drinking and all that others, all these other things. That's what the world does. The world's in an anxious condition now. They don't know what's going on. They don't know if we're going to get into the Third World War. They don't know if somebody's going to drop a bomb. Try to stay off the news. Because a lot of it is fake. A lot of it is a buildup, and a lot of it didn't even happen. And hadn't happened, it wasn't going to happen. So let's read the Word of God. Read A Praying Life. Be a good book to read. I've already got mine marked up pretty much. So. I thank God for people that he gave. He gave us people besides William Mayer and Branham. I promise you that. I just believe that. We can't be so narrow-minded. What Brother Branham say? People are so, what is it, spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. And so earthly good, they're no spiritually minded. There's a balance there. And if that man can show to me in the scriptures that how I need to pray and how this is supposed to be, I don't care what his name is. I don't. It might do you good to start reading something again. But he was given a sword, so he was given, listen, let me tell you right here one thing. God has never given anybody false doctrine. He can't. He can't give out false doctrine. He can give you the truth, and the devil can put the slant on it, and God knows. Listen, why did he tell Jesus, why did Jesus say the things he did? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Why did he say, I was watching a preacher this today, he said, if you really read it, he said, Jesus was a pretty bad guy. He stood up one day and he said, I didn't come to bring peace. Now listen, the Prince of Peace said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to turn father against mother. You want me to read that? It's in red in your Bible if you read it. Brother against sister. He said, I came to do that. So what do we got to do? We got to rightly divide the word, knowing that he absolutely is the Prince of Peace. But if we don't accept him and accept his salvation, it's going to divide us. How many of us, we've got divided families because of the message? Okay, then. That's what was sent for. But to divide is not God. That's Satan. But God knew if he gave him the word, he'd have a false slant on it and have false teachers or preachers to preach it. And he would anoint them to preach it. Wow. He would actually anoint. I'm talking about God. Anointed ones at the end time. Preach beautiful sermons. All these people's left the message. They preach way better than I can preach. And now they've denied Brother Brown was a prophet and going back out in the world and doing whatever they wanted to do. They didn't have the Holy Ghost in their soul. That's the whole important thing. If you don't got the Holy Ghost in your soul, you will be deceived. It's not that you might be. You will be deceived. All whose names are not written in Revelations, all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world will be deceived. All right? So you're wondering about deception. Let's worry about getting born again. All right? We get born again. Yes, we might be confused. Everybody thinks that when you come in a message that everything's like, and we just believe it. No, folks, it's a fight. You know as well as I do, you didn't come in the message. You didn't hit the first time you heard serpent seed, what'd you do? You did not say that ain't nothing but the truth. Because your carnal mind got to working and thinking all these things in the background over here. Right, Sister Rebecca? Yeah. So what was that all about? That was God bringing you, though, to a realization of what he actually said. The word he spoke, he said, there's spirit and life. So that's what we've got to see. that. But now you can see that it was sex in the garden and all that other stuff that happened, and still be lost. Brother Brown said that was the ability to read. If you can read where somebody's defiled, and as I was telling that brother in Ohio, if you read where the brother she was defiled, you can say whatever you want to about that. But then come over to the lineages. The Bible is always 100% accurate in lineages. So-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so, all the way. Man, there's chapters and chapters of this one begot that one. The book of John brings you all the way from Abraham to Jesus. Then one brings you from Adam to him. Cain is never mentioned one time. Cain is not mentioned one time. That's what I told that brother. I said, find me Cain's name past Genesis, whatever it is, 2 or 3. Find me his name. But Adam begot Abel, then Seth, then Enos, and then all the way down through, nowhere in the lineup. Then you go all the way over to the book of Jude, and it specifically says that the seventh from Adam was Enoch. Well, start backwards. I told that guy, I said, let me see your fingers. You know, pretty much, I said, look, seventh from Adam. Then, of course, I read it because I can't remember all of them, but it goes backwards. And if you put Cain in there, it's 8. Right. Right. Can't put Cain in there. I said, so Cain was not born of a human being like we are.
Right. That's right.
Come on, people. Jeez. He was born of, it was a beast. It was a lineage that God allowed to happen, and Satan knew it. He knew where the crack was, and he hid it. But God knew he would. But then everybody, though, was on free moral agency, and I don't know why I got onto that, but praise the Lord, somebody may need that. So, oh, hey, Ohio group, God bless you. Good to see you. They're with us. We sure appreciate them. We love them. We love the Lord. Always have. Always will. All right, look, now watch what Brother Brown says. So look, now let's consider what John saw. He saw a red horse. Now here we're back to the second seal. I want to bring up one other thing. A red horse, and his rider goes forth. Power was given to him to slay with a great sword. Now, what is a sword? Do not think of it as a battle of steel.
Right.
It's a battle of words.
Yep.
Okay? That's what Lucifer and Michael did. They didn't fight with swords and whoever was the strongest one. No, it was a war of words.
Right.
All right?
Amen.
Most every battle that's ever been fought, every war has been because of words. Now, it got into all the other things, but it started by a war of words.
Right.
So that's the same way with me and you. And that's the same way happens when you get born again. It's a war of words to begin with.
Right.
I'm going to tell you about one true living God. I'm over here stuck in a trinity.
Right. Right. Right.
I'm stuck over here where Paul says, the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ bless you all. There's like about three people standing there.
Right?
Right? So it's a war of words. It's a war, but what God's going to do is if he, when he gives you the new birth, it quickens that word that you held in your heart.
Right.
Now, some have been given the word and they kick it out.
Right.
So I said, don't ever come up to something, even in the message now, and say, I don't believe that.
Right.
You could say, I don't understand that, because if you say, I don't believe that, Brother Dan, that just shuts the door.
Right.
Doors, and you shut it. God didn't shut it. You shut it. Just keep everything open. So with an open mind about the things that we talk about as far as the message goes for all the young people. Power was given him to slay with a great sword. Now here's my revelation of it. It's Satan again. It's the devil again in another form. Listen, Satan has to, it's kind of funny the other day I was looking at something and it was about movies. And back in the 40s and 50s when they started making movies and 60s, you could have a scene that was 3 minutes long and still hold the attention of the people.
Right.
Now it can't be much more than 30 seconds long.
Because
we're so much like this. We're so much wanting to see the next thing behind the door, the next villain that comes out, the next hero that does. So what has it done? It's done the same thing in the gospel.
Right.
Anyway, I want to know more. Okay? But I want something to hold my attention, and we all do. That's why sometimes, you know, truthfully, I'm sorry, but, you know, Pete, they have entertainment at churches. You know, they have, not message churches, but they have entertainment, and And it was enlightening to see some of the things that they were entertaining with, borderline on pornography. Just to get the people in, just to get them in, to, you know, the dances and all that stuff. And oh, by the way, make sure y'all watch that. How many of you watched that skit that they put on at Brother Ron Spencer's? So Brother Joe put it on WhatsApp, so you can see it there for yourself. Really good, isn't it, Jim? Very good. Now remember, isn't that strange? They was given this sword to kill one another. Notice, now when he did that, he didn't have the ecclesiastical power yet. But he started with a demon of a false teaching. That teaching became a doctrine. That doctrine became incarnate in a false prophet. Then watch, he went just to the right place. He never went to Israel. He went to Rome, Nicaea, Rome. Council was head, and they made a head bishop. Doing this, they united church and state together. Now, we've already been through this, but watch. He dropped his bow. He got off his white horse. He got on his red horse, for he can now kill anybody that don't agree with him. So now he has the power to kill somebody that don't agree with him. So we know that's entering into the Dark Ages, or entering into the time of the Crusades, where there were 68 million Christians killed. Not just regular people, Christians. You professed Christianity, you were killed. All right? Fox's Book of Martyr, if you need a book to read. Now look, he said, there's your seal. Same fella. Watch him go right on into eternity under with it. Unites both his powers together. The same thing they're trying to do right now. Well, now, they didn't do it so much with Brother Branham's time in 1963, but folks, they're doing it now. It's actually already done. Amen. Okay? It's already done and finished. Everything's locked up. They're just waiting on somebody to pull the trigger. All right? Not with only gun, but I'm talking about pull the trigger to do these things that they're supposed to do. Because remember, the Bible tells us, they're all looking for peace now, though. Everybody's looking for wanting to quit fighting and have peace over here. And now we got a lawsuit against Castro down in Cuba, and Trump's going to own the whole world before it's over with. But you know what? That's the image to the beast. That's the voice that the beast needs, the enforcer, to enforce his law. And praise God, we won't be here when he starts enforcing that law. If you're here, you missed it. Don't miss it. Whatever you do, please don't miss it. Now, Brother Branham just talks about killing. He said, you don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. You can break his character and kill him, kill his influence. Speak against your pastor here, say something bad about him. You just might as well have shot him. Told something that wasn't right about him. Well, it'll kill his influence with the people and things like that, and you're guilty of it. You're guilty of it. He didn't say the pastor was guilty of it. He said, you're guilty of it. Right. And that's true. You take somebody and you berate them and you put them down and you just keep putting them down and keep putting them down. Yeah. Why would you want to do that if you were a Christian? I thought we were supposed to be positive. Amen. Don't matter if it's raining outside, we're having a good day. Amen. Lord help, that's what our pastor built this whole church on, was a positive attitude. Amen? Amen? A positive attitude, even in the darkest hour, he had a positive attitude. Yes, sir. Amen. All right? So now, we spoke a little bit the other day about the virtues tied to the seals. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to think with me. That's scary. You're going to have to think with me, because what I'm doing is I'm watching the ages. Now, we've been through the church ages. There's seven church ages. There's seven church age messengers. There's, you got Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to insert myself into those ages to kind of get the attitude and the thought about, well, what would I be thinking as a message believer, not as a Brother Branham believer, as a message believer for my hour, what would I be looking at? What would I be looking for? But see, remember, they didn't have the seals open, so they didn't really know what was going on. All right? They didn't know that. But what did they do? They believed the messenger for their age. God gave them a portion of a message, and they believed it. They lived it, and most of them died for it. All right? So as we look at this, every age, it ties these virtues of faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. See, what is that? That's the character of one man, Jesus Christ. All right? So now listen, real quick, just think with me for a second. What is the importance of the openings of these seals? There is an importance because it's so much taught in the Bible that this is closed off until the time of the end. You're not going to understand these right now, but you're going to understand them later. John wept because there was a closed book. Everybody with me? John was typed to bride. So we're weeping if we don't see the open book. And we all know that we are in the open book, the part of the Son of Man ministry, to where we can see what the spirit of those ages are. We can see who their messenger is. I don't think for one time Paul stood one day and said, I'm the messenger to the first church. Irenaeus didn't say, I'm the messenger to the second church. There's only one person that did that. And Brother Branham was very vague in doing that. But he understood because it's an open book. Wesley didn't come up and preach and say, well, bless God, I'm the sixth church age messenger. No, he preached what God gave him. And that's what we got to do, preach what God gave us. But the opening of the seals, listen, the opening of the seals reveals Christ. Bottom line, his purpose, what he's doing in the age that he's in, and what he's doing now. Everybody with me? It is going to expose the whole Antichrist system, not just parts of it. The whole Antichrist system will collapse under the power of the bride. And also opening of the seals, it purifies the bride that's on the earth. It was not sent, the seals were not sent to purify Wesley's age, Pentecostal age. Amen. It was sent to purify people that are alive and well, we which are alive and remain. Amen. We which are able to read the book, read the Bible, listen to the tapes, listen to the fivefold ministry. Amen. And it's to prepare us for the coming of a body change. Amen. That's what the seals are for. So if you'll look at that and see, we got all these, you know, I mean, there's symbols, there's all kinds, there's charts. But the main thing is that the center of this whole thing is Christ wanting to reveal himself for what he's doing right now at this day. Right. I love history, but remember, the Bible says history repeats itself. Okay? All right? But we can look back into that first church age and thank God that he gave us a spiritual Einstein that could take all these formulas and put them together and make a beautiful picture. I mean, it doesn't make a beautiful, and it does make a beautiful picture up here. Thank God. But you got to be the beautiful picture in here. Here's where it's got to be. That's why those first church ages, that's why they had the pure word of God. They had the line of the tribe of Judah. They had the boldness. But man, 325 AD, so about the end of that second church age right in there, somewhere pretty close, Satan moved in. He got that white horse, and he rode it into the churches, and he started eroding the word of God. Amen. All right? So now we're talking about the second seal. So the second seal overlaps. We see that. But mainly the second seal was mostly the end of third to the fourth. So I went back and looked at the characteristic of that age, and we'll look at it in just a minute. Because the third seal begins there right at the end of the fourth church age, which was the Dark Ages. Is everybody with me on that? That was Columba. That was the Dark Ages. That's when 68 million people were killed. That's when Satan got on his red horse, took his sword of his word, and killed the people with it. Right. All right? And it was an ox age. It was labor. And listen, me and somebody was talking the other day. It seems like that this message is like a full-on ox labor. We're trying to get, and you know, it's like that little train that could, you know, and we're trying to get the most, and we will. Somebody will understand this message, and somebody will live it. You will become the incarnate God, not the incarnate beast, because the incarnate beast is going to happen right after we get out of here, after the fourth seal. The incarnate beast is going to take over, and he's going to rule the world. He's going to do signs and wonders. They're going to think they found Superman. Yep. But he'll be the devil incarnate.
Right.
So he'll have an agenda that nobody will know until he pulls it up and says, this is what I'm going to do. And then he'll have America or somewhere else, somebody else will stand behind him and say, if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen to you.
Right.
Don't you see that happening now? I see that happening now.
Right.
The movings of it. Just like these ages lap over, God has a lap over time. Satan has a lap over time. You know what he does? You know what? When I look at those brackets and I see seal one and it kind of, you know, 1 to 3 and 2 to 4 and 4 to 6 and 6 to 7, I see grace.
Amen.
Grace that God at the end of a church age is saying, look, I'm fixing to bring another messenger on the scene, but I'm going to give you time to look at that messenger that I had before. He's gone off the scene. Most of those messengers come at the end of the age prior to bring their message. And even Columba wasn't even in his church age.
Right. That's right.
But his message was.
Amen.
His message was. The people took the message and they lived it. And that's no different than today. But the problem with us is they had an excuse because there was another messenger coming. We have no excuse. There's no other messenger coming.
Right.
Okay, this is to fulfill the whole prophecy of God through a bride in the end time.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
So the second seal then is the red horse. It's between the 2, 3, and 4 church ages. So if you want to do it, you can. I didn't do it. I'm just going to do it because the striking part about this fourth age, the Thyatira age, I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. It tells you what's going to go on. So let's skip all this because Listen, does everybody understand we were talking about Sunday? Do you understand that the scripture there in Ezekiel is talking about give you a new spirit and then I'll put my spirit in? Okay, most of you that's been here forever and ever, Dad's preached on it forever and ever, and we have too. But remember that you get a new spirit at sanctification.
Right.
All right, and it's a spirit that softens your spirit so that God can give you the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Okay, but listen, see, Satan can jump in. He make you think you're born again at that time because you're in a religious order. You go to church. You have new thoughts. You have new ideas. You have new ways of doing things. But if you don't continue on, then the scripture tells us that the unclean spirit goes out. And he's going to come back, find your house swept up, garnished, ready for God to enter in. But if we don't keep pressing toward God, wanting more of God, come to church more, study more, pray more, then he's going to come right back in and bring 7 other demons, which are not going to be 7 drunk demons.
Right.
They're not going to be 7 pornographic demons.
Right.
They're going to be 7 religious demons.
Right.
They're going to set you in a message church and say, oh, you got it. Can't you feel that? Can't you feel that when they start shouting, speaking in tongues, when they start waving their hands and praying? Can't you feel that? But there is a real group of people that when that unclean spirit goes out, you're going to fill it with God.
Amen.
And you're going to fill it with the love. And God's going to fill it. And that's when the Bible says, now I'll put my spirit in you. See, I don't want mine. I want his.
Amen.
All right. But he does give you a spirit. He said that he even said one time, and I may have it here, where he said, God gives you a spirit to get along with yourself. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's a spirit to soften your spirit. And that's what he's doing. If you'll see this, if you'll have a spiritual mind, you'll see what he's doing. God's softening up Because remember, the seed's going to go back in the ground right here. The seed went in the ground when Jesus was on earth. The seed went in the ground. He said if it stays there and dies, it abides alone. But if it comes up, it brings what? Fruit. But remember, I will restore was telling us that it was going to happen again. So the corn and wheat went back in the ground here. And to come back out, he has to soften the ground. You can plant the greatest, I know one year we had a drought, and you can plant the greatest seed in the world, but if there's a hard crust on top of that ground, it ain't going to come up. Amen. So you go in there and you ask for rain, or you take your hoe and you try to dig around it to get to where that thing can come up out of the ground. Well, that's what God's doing. God's doing right here. And Brother Brown tells us in that fourth church age, he said it was the tender hand of Jehovah that let those 68 million people. See, we don't understand God. Right. He told us we weren't going to understand him. He didn't ask us to understand him. He asked us to believe him. Right. All right? He asked us to believe what he said. Amen. All right? And if you don't understand it, keep believing until you do understand it. Because we're going to see when we get to this black horse. Now, remember, the intelligence of man is good if it's used for God. But it's the worst thing can ever happen to you if it's used by the devil. All right? Because we're going to look at a thing called, may get to it tonight, I don't know, a time called the Enlightenment. Amen. Right. And what was the Enlightenment? It's got to be proven. You don't have to so much believe. You got to prove. Right. Well, prove me your new birth. You can show it to me by your outside emotions, but show me your love. We believe in things we can't see. The things we believe are the most awesome things in the world, and you can't even see them. You actually can't explain it. I can explain my love to June, and you'll think we're crazy. But you explain yours to me, and I think you're crazy. Praise the Lord, didn't I, right, June? Absolutely. I mean, kidding. People. But anyway, so God's telling us, you see that where it says the true Christian journey versus Satan's counterfeit. See, there's a truth in all that. The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. That is the combat beast. That's the Holy Ghost that's protecting every person that's a bride in their age. Is everybody with me? That's the protection of the bride. Because you're going to see that when God says, hurt not the oil and wine, you're going to see why. Because when that corn of wheat comes back out of the ground after the fourth church age, it starts as two shoots, which is a restoration. All right, you with me? It's a restoration of the word of God. Because during that age in the ox age, there was no restoration. The Catholic Church was just had everything bound down. Right. Just like sometimes the devil has us bound down. Right. So this is what we were reading the other day. And it's awesome to see this. Sometimes we see things and we think, I wish Olivia was here. Well, more than once, I wish Olivia was here all the time. And we're praying for that. Amen. But anybody that works in a hospital environment, I mean, you ask Brother Darrell Ward, he said, I've seen so many insides of an individual, and it's not them pretty pictures they put on the wall. When you go into doctor's office and you see all that with them organs sitting in all those different places and everything where it's supposed to be, and you open somebody up, and it just looks like chaos. It looks like mush. So you always wondered, I always thought, well, here stands the true, hold on a minute, don't get my bone straight, Danny. Here's the, praise the Lord. Here's the true tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Way over here is the tree of death, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Brother Brown says that they were intertwined. That means that there was a white righteous church on the earth, but there was a white church that were pretending it. And what happened is, as those trees grew, they come together, and you couldn't hardly tell one vine from the other vine. The true church kept trying to get the first church to repent. Right. It would not do so. It increased in size and influence. It embarked upon constant campaigns to discredit the true seed. They claimed that they and they alone were the true representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ and vaunted the fact that they were the original church in Rome and they alone were the first church. Brother Branham said, indeed, they were the first church, and indeed they are. Thus, by the time of this third church age, which we're going to talk about in just a second, we have two churches bearing the same name. Right. Two churches bearing the same name. Because you got the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they moved just like that. They weren't stuck in the garden. Listen, the tree of life would have stayed in the Garden of Eden if we didn't need to be born again.
Right.
It didn't need to go anywhere else. The reason it needed to move was because we were driven out of the Garden of Eden. Now, who is the tree of life? Jesus Christ is the tree of life. Do you know he went outside the garden with us? Because he had to come back as the second Adam, live in Satan's Eden or this garden down here. And what he was trying to do was pull those two trees apart. And he did, if they would have listened to what he said.
Right.
But they did not. So what happened is, first church, second, third, fourth church age, it just kept intertwining, and God let it intertwine because, watch right here. Thus, by the time of this third church age, we have two churches bearing the same name, but with a bitter difference between them. One had departed from the truth, married idols, and has no life in her. She has hybridized herself, and the signs of death, not life, follow in her wake. She is powerful with many members. That's why we're going to see in a little while when we come to that last pale horse rider. God names him.
Amen.
He's named death,
right,
and hell follows.
Right.
He was that back over here. But remember, it had to wait till there was a revelation, just like the revelation of Jesus Christ was lost down through the church ages. Is that not right? Right? It was all Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No names and all this and three gods and all that stuff. Well, that's why it had to come back. She has hybridized herself and signs of death, not life, follow in her wake. She is powerful with many members. She's favored by the world. The other is a little persecuted group. But she follows the word and the signs follow her. The sick are healed. The dead are raised. She's alive with the life and word of God. She loves not her life, but holds to his name and his faith, even unto death. Now, he's talking about here, talking about the two trees. Religion and the spiritual world are made up of those two trees which had their roots in Eden. Both the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil stood in the midst of the garden, and no doubt their very branches intertwined each other. Thus, in the Ephesian church ages, that same paradox. Church is made up of good and bad. Two vines make the church. They're like the wheat and the tares growing side by side, but one is true, one is false. That's why this time is harvest time. The only time you're going to really know what plant you've got is about right at harvest time.
Amen.
Because the fruit's going to show what the life was that came out of that very root that went in the ground. All right, he will call them the church, and only the elect will really know which is the true spirit. Only the elect will not be deceived. Laodicean church age, the two vines that grew together and intertwined their branches are now to be separated. That's what the seals did.
Right.
He said, I now call you bride. I now know why I hated denominations. I know now what's the answer to marriage and divorce. I know now there's an answer to this. I know there's an answer to this. Come on, somebody. That's what we've got. We've got the word of God that rightly divides.
Amen.
It goes out there and it trims those vines off. And you know, listen, it ain't your... You have to be careful. If you were to have two trees intertwined, one was a good and one was a bad one, you have to be careful.
Right.
You might cut down a good one. But rightly dividing the word of truth. Because you know what, Brother Danny? If that vine is a peach tree vine, there's going to be a peach on the end of it. Now, there may be another vine that rolls around, it comes around over here, and here's an apple tree. So you know which vine to cut down by the fruits. By your fruits you'll be known. The fruit of those vines which were at such variance will be gathered into separate garners. The two spirits will go to their separate destination. Now it's time to heed the final call that comes only to the wheat bride. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye wheat receive not her plagues, tares. The great tribulation that was the sixth seal of Matthew 24. So now the fourth age that we were talking about now, it's the longest age. It's the longest age in the, a lot of them were just a few hundred years. This was 1,500 years. Close to it, right at it. But look what happened. Now remember, what is the fourth church age? Thyatira is the fourth church age. That's when that red horse rider was continuing his killing and his riding, R-I-D-I-N-G, riding. Now watch. Now this is where I kind of, today I entered in. And sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. But I entered into that book of Revelation 2:18. That's what I'm telling you about. You need to do that. That's what I'm saying about, if you talk to Olivia, oh Lord, help us all. Blood everywhere, gore, stuff. Brother Darrell said, you know, he was a battle medic. Or, he was over there, but they would bring him in from a battle, and he said they'd be all tore up. Well, that don't look like a beautiful picture like you see in a doctor's office. Right. But you got to know what you're talking about. If you know what you're talking about, it's not a bloody mess. Right. A doctor's trained to put all that back together, fix the things that's supposed to be first. I know they told Brother Danny when he fell off that chicken house. They told us, we were standing there and looking at his x-ray, and it just looked like a jigsaw puzzle. Didn't it, George? And he was out of it. But the doctor said, I'm going to fix this first. He said, then I'll fix this other. Then I'll fix this other. And they knew what they were doing. They fixed what they needed to fix to get him up and going. And then they started fixing the rest of it. Well, why don't we believe that God's a greater physician than even that? That the things we're broken and the things that we need and the things that we know we're broken in, that turn it over to the great physician. Okay? Just turn it over to him. Brother Donnie had his hip replaced. I was nowhere to be seen. Why? I wasn't a doctor. I'd have done a real bad mess. Olivia was there. But what I'm saying is they were trained. You and I are being trained today. We're being trained to know the good from the evil. We've been trained to know what organs are good and what organs are not. We've been trained that what the word we need right now, Paul tells us, he said, the foundation we need to leave. We can't stay on the bottom of the building. We got to take what that foundation is, though, and keep building. And it's going to build a glorious church. And because of the opening of the seal, somebody is going to see the light of this age. Not the Laodicean age. I'm talking about this age. The light of this age, and it be the true light. And we're going to go on to the perfection of the body change. But we got to get all these things right first. So anyway, let's look at this. I was kind of entering in. And I said, well, what if I'm at Thyatira? But now look, I'm cheating. I know what Brother Ram's already said about it. Okay? I read the church age book. Went back and read it a little bit this morning. But the church in Thyatira, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like flames of fire and his feet like in the fine brass. Now he's talking about that age, that fourth age, the age of killing, the age of the 68 million Christians being put to death. He said, I know thy works and charity, which is love, and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. In other words, that last of that church age, it had to start coming up. There had to be things that teachings of Luther. Luther had to come on the scene to bring that thing back up. So the last is greater than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, though. Now, he had some things against him, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants. Now, what is a woman? A woman is a church. Now, the Jezebel system had to be that false church that rose up and put those 68 million people to death.
Right.
Now, me as being in that church age, I would look at a church. I'd look at this great big Catholic church, and I'd look at me and Brother Gary and different ones. We'd be over here in a hut meeting, four or five of us. No lights on. Turn a light on, you might get killed, right? But God still tells us to not intertwine ourselves with that Jezebel system, which calls herself a prophetess. Now look, she called herself that. God didn't call her that. She called herself that. To teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, which is unclean living in the natural and in the spiritual, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her a space to repent of her fornication. He gave her 1,500 years to stop what she was doing.
Amen.
The Catholic Church. 1,500 years to stop what they were doing, and they didn't. And she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. Her children, this is what struck, her children were born right here. Roman Catholic, whatever you want to, they were born here. But he's going to kill them. That's why Brother Brown said, he said, God's not in organized religion. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine. Now watch. If you don't have that doctrine of Jezebel, and you have that little meeting over in the corner, and you're trusting in God, and you're seeing the things of God, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. You think, wow, 68 million people, what a burden. It wasn't a burden to them. They loved the Lord unto death. They willingly went into those arenas knowing they were going to be pulled apart by lions. And had so much of a testimony that some of those old Romans that took them there, what a testimony.
Amen.
You lived your life hating them people the whole time, and you watch them go into the arena and people screaming, and you look around and you thought, man, I want that kind of faith. God drops down in their heart, and he said, if you'll do what they're doing, he said, I'll take you to heaven with me. They throw down their spears and their shields and run straight into that arena. God saved them at that moment. I will put no more burden on, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. All right, but that which you have already, hold fast, because what's going to happen is what the seed has been falling in the ground, you got to hold it. The earth has to hold seed.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, yeah, you can get it to sprout. I've done it before. If you want them to accelerate sprouting, you can put corn in water. And when the seed, as soon as it busts, you put it in the ground. It kind of gives it a little jump start. And you might be able to grow a little stem or something in water. But you'll never get anything out of a piece of... How in the world are you going to put... How in the world are you going to have a corn stalk in a glass of water?
Amen.
It's not made for that.
Right.
It's made to be put in the ground.
Right.
Where it can what? Grow roots. And that's what happened in that fourth church age. God went come from the roots. And those people gave their life willingly to see this gospel continue on to another group of people, which is the group of Luther coming up and him coming out of that system. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. I tell you tonight, same thing. Please hold. Please hold on. Please hold on. Hold fast till Christ can be formed in you. Hold fast. Do the things you're supposed to do. Read your Bible. Study. Go to church. And he that overcometh and will keepeth my works unto the end, to him will watch. He's going to give that whole church age, Sister Regina, that whole church age is going to rise up, and they're going to be the ones that power over the nations when we get into the millennium, because they came out of a horrible age. We think it's horrible here. Yes, it is, because it's spiritual blindness, because it's spiritual darkness. Okay? Theirs was natural and spiritual darkness. And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Watch. I want you to understand something real quick, though. This age, the word Thyatira means dominating female. So what dominated that fourth church age? A church. A church dominated that fourth church age. And they had the doctrine of Jezebel. So now watch what Brother Branham said. Thus, this age is characterized by a dominant force, a force that ruthlessly invades all, conquers all, and despotically controls. Now, a dominating female is the greatest curse in the world.
Amen.
Let me read that one more time. Now, a dominating female is the greatest curse in the world. And when God caused her to be brought forth from man, she was vastly different from the other females he had created. She was able to be seduced. No other female in creation can be immoral, but the human female may be touched at almost any time. And that weakness in her allowed Satan to seduce her by the way of the serpent and has brought the woman to a very peculiar position before God and his word. She is the type of all things vulgar. Now watch. That's what that brother, he left the message. I preached for him right before he left. And I know y'all know who he is, but he asked me, he said, Brother Wade, why did Brother Ram call women dog meat? Why was he berating women? Why would he call them dog meat? I started calling his name. Brother, I said, you're dog meat if you're not born again.
Right.
You're dog meat. He wasn't talking about the good sisters. He's talking about all that give the word of God a bad name because they're females. They want to preach. They want to have a headship. They want to be over their husband. They don't want anybody to rule over them.
Right.
Everybody with me? Remember in this last age, the seven ones, they wanted one, take on one man. We'll say that we're married to you, but we don't want to take your name.
That's right.
We want to do what we want to do.
Amen.
And they're doing it. We know that. She is the type of all things vulgar, foul, and loathsome on the one hand, and on the other hand, she is the type of all things clean and beautiful. You sisters are the epitome of the church age. If you're a real true sister, you epitomize, and you are the queen of the church age. Hello? I'm talking about sisters. Now, we are to Christ, but sisters, in their position, us in our position, it's the greatest thing God could do.
Right.
She's the type of all things clean and beautiful and holy as the receptacle of the Spirit and blessings of God. On the one hand, she's called the whore who is drunk with the wine of her fornication. On the other hand, she's called the bride of Christ. On one hand, she's called Mystery Babylon, the abomination before God. And on the other hand, she's called New Jerusalem, our mother. On the one hand, she is so foul and wicked and lewd that she is summarily cast into the lake of fire as the only fit place for her. And on the other hand, she is exalted to heaven, sharing the very throne of God as the only place befitting such a queen.
Amen.
And in this Thyatiran church age, she is a dominating female. She is Mystery Babylon. She's the great whore. She is Jezebel, the false prophetess. Why? Because the true female is submissive to God. Christ is her head. Okay? Because remember, well, later, she has no word but his, no thought but his, no leadership but his. But what about this church? She has cast out the word, destroyed the Bibles and worthy essays of the godly. She has slain those who would preach the truth. She has taken over kings, princes, and nations, controlled armies, and insists that she is the true body of Christ and that her popes are the vicars of Christ. She is entirely seduced by the devil until she in turn has become the seducer of others. Right. Remember what I said before? That spirit is so strong, it deceives the whole world except for a little small group of people. I mean, the whole world. It's worse than COVID. COVID struck this whole world, right?
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Way worse than COVID. But you can see how it spread. Did you see how that spread? See how COVID spread? One to the other. They traced it to come over here in Seattle. It was none in the United States. Whoever them got off that plane in Seattle, he just went, well, that's the way sin is. That's the way doctrine is. That's the way falsity is. It starts in one and continues to another. If we don't sit under a good minister, or we listen to Brother Branham and different ones that are true ministers, that will come into our household too. Sorry about that. She has taken over kings, princes, and nations, controls armies, and insists that she's the true body of Christ and that her popes are the vicars of Christ. She is entirely seduced by the devil until she in turn has become the seducer of others. She is the bride of Satan, as has produced his bastard child religions. That's hard words, but I'm just reading what Brother Branham said. All through the dark ages, she has dominated. For over 900 years, she plundered and destroyed. She killed the arts, destroyed the sciences, produced nothing but death, until the light of the truth was almost entirely gone and only the barest sliver of light remained. But God promised, he said, I will restore. I will restore. Man can't restore it, but I will. That's why he comes on the scene in Luther and Wesley and different ones. But let's read this. Now let's go just for a second, just for about 5 minutes. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld in lo a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. They're talking about money now. Right. See, Satan so much got everything involved, he don't need a bow. He's already bluffed him. Okay? Because once you're in that system, you're in it.
Right.
Then he gave him a sword of his word to kill by. Okay? Now what you're going to do is he's going to get over here and he's going to start charging people. We know that. Brother Brown said charging people for novenas and all these different things. But there's something else about that we'll talk about a little bit later. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, which is what? Wheat and barley is the staff of life, all right? And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine, which is the stimulation of revelation. You know, I would think that, and as I was thinking about the Thyatiran church age, they wasn't a lot much on revelation. It was survival. It was survival. Sure, the message got out and they got revelation, but remember, Luther came in under that and he had to be brought out by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But when he got brought out by the Holy Ghost, he still wanted to reform the Catholic Church.
Right.
That thing was so hard on him that it still had a grip,
right,
trying to pull him back in. Right? Because he was a Trinitarian. There's a lot of things that he reformed. That's why he's a reformer. He tried to reform them out of the Catholic Church. For nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. This is Matthew 24:7. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in many places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. So now here we are in this third seal. He's saying it's the beginning of sorrows. But I want you to understand something. When the age first began, they walked everywhere they went. When we get to the end of the sixth church age, we're driving a car. You'd think that's happy. The industrialization of America had begun during that time. All that looked really good, but what happened was is they were void of the Spirit of God. They still held on. Listen, Luther didn't. When Luther stood up and protested the Catholic Church, that did not do away with the Catholic Church. It's stronger now than it ever has been. When Brother Branham stood and pronounced and he said it was dead, it was a mother whore, you would have thought that being the prophet of God, that thing would have just collapsed. No, it got stronger. It's stronger now than it ever has been. It's going to get even worse. But not to you and I. Not to the little bride. So let's look at a few symbols and then we'll start in a couple of weeks. On three. Now black, I want you to watch this. Black can refer to the darkest color or what? An absence of light. Because remember, God didn't create darkness. Darkness is an absence of light.
Right.
Who proved that? When did Einstein? Now, the physical definition, look at the physics of it. The achromatic color value of minimum lightness. It occurs when an object absorbs all or nearly all visible light wavelengths and reflects none. Wow. Are you getting the spiritual part of that? They have so absorbed the light till they made it darkness. It occurs when an object absorbs all or nearly all visible light wavelengths and reflects none. Go in a dark room and look in the mirror. That may be the best time you ever look at yourself in the mirror. Can't see yourself, though.
Right.
Turn the light on. Sure can.
Right.
Perception of this is the total or near, watch, the total or near total absence of light reaching the eye. What do we look by? The eye of faith.
Right.
We don't look by whether it's dark or light out here, physical. We do look at the spiritual part, though, of light and dark. And that's what's going to happen because in that fifth and sixth age, my, you're going to see a revolution. Because watch, I pulled this up because it says that you will hear of what? Wars. Right? You will hear, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine. Pestilence and earthquakes. Now watch. Let me tell you what happened during that time. Between 1500 A.D., beginning of the age to the end of the age, there was 100 wars. 100 wars. A lot of them we know about, a lot of them we don't. I wasn't going to list them. Historians do not have an exact worldwide total of famine, because they said it would be famine, between 1500 and 1700, but records suggest hundreds occurred globally. This era coincides with the Little Ice Age, triggering widespread crop failure and conflicts that worsened food shortages. There was I think it was Ireland or somewhere, that they lost everything. They lost all their potato crop, everything that they planted that day. Came some kind of a 3 or 4 day or 5 day frost and killed everything they had. Between 1500 and 1700, there were countless localized outbreaks and 10 to 12 major continent-wide pestilence in Europe alone, because the term pestilence generally referred to outbreak of the bubonic plague, but also includes smallpox, typhus, influenza. Early modern towns recorded a severe epidemic roughly every 15 to 20 years. That's what happened in the fifth and sixth age, but it's supposed to be a glorious age. It's the age of man. You got all kind of stuff. You got printing presses. You got trains. You got automobiles. You got telephones. You got our telegraph. Then telephones later on. But what did Jesus tell them? He said, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now the world calls this time of a period of time the age of enlightenment. Okay, what does that say? Enlightenment. So they thought it was a time of enlightenment. Light was going to shine. Watch. The age of enlightenment, also known as the Enlightenment, was a philosophical movement that dominated the world of ideas in Europe in the 18th century, centered on the idea that reason, somebody ever tell us to cast down reasoning? Centered on the idea that reason is the primary source of authority and legitimacy. This movement advocated such ideals as liberty, progress, tolerance, fraternity, constitutional government, and separation of church and state. The Enlightenment was marked by an emphasis on the scientific method and a reductionism, along with increased questioning of religion. But yet it was the most enlightened time there was. What were the major events of the Age of Enlightenment? The Age of Enlightenment was roughly the period of time, those two church ages, was marked by a shift toward reason, individualism, skepticism of traditional authority. Key events included the publication of foundational philosophical texts, the scientific revolution expansion, the American and French Revolution, and the rise of salon culture, and I'll explain that later. Kind of funny. Largely driven by thinkers like Locke and Voltaire. The main theme of the Enlightenment was the primacy of reason and scientific inquiry over traditional authority, superstition, and religious dogma.
That's right.
Thinkers of the 17th and 18th century championed human intellect, individualism, empirical evidence as tools to improve society and secure individual liberties. And then right after that started the Industrial Revolution. The reason I'm telling you these things is kind of give you an entering into those two ages. As if you were in that age, this is what you would see. And some of this is not bad. Some of this is good. It's where we got separation of church and state, and it's got where there was a form of government. But Brother Branham said government was rotten. Education was rotten. Hello?
Amen.
Science. They centered it all around science, and they pretty much forgot religion. They forgot faith.
That's right.
They said, if I can't see it, I ain't going to believe it. Well, we're a bunch of dead people in our soul if we have to see everything to believe it.
Right.
We're supposed to be believers that believes it and then sees it.
Right.
You know why? Because we have a supernatural, come on, musicians, we have a supernatural seed in us, as Brother Luis was talking about. We have, by the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we have a supernatural seed of God inside of us that will absolutely, now listen to me, it will absolutely override all that other.
Right.
It has to. That's what it's given to us for, to lead us and guide us into all truth. You think all churches are true? You think all governments are true? You think all science books are true? Speak to them flat earth people. Let's stand. Ain't say no more about that. Got that right. The Age of Enlightenment was supposed to give us more light. It gave us the darkest time. That's why that dark horse is that light that was darkness. But you and I are the only people that can see that. You are now the only people that can see, and we can tell light from darkness. Because Jesus said, I am the true light, because there's a false one.
Amen.
I am the true light, the true bread that came down of heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we are intellectual. We do have a lot more information than anybody's ever had in their life, but what are we doing with it? John Wesley's mother had 13 children. She taught them every day. John and Charles and all the other ones taught them every day, read the Bible, and prayed with them every day. 13 of them. She had no microwave. She had no washing machine. She had no running water.
Amen.
She had no Walmart. I'll get all dizzy on that one. She had to make them kids' clothes. Yet she found time to do that. She didn't have a TV to sit in front of. Or an internet. The TV ain't no bad, no worse than the phones you got in your pocket. Same thing. If you spend more time on it, garbage in is garbage out. Listen, this thing's going to hone. You've heard it for ages. But this is honing time. This is the time when we've got the last push. Actually, it's the last pull. God's going to pull us out of here, but there's going to be a group of people that's not going to believe. They're just unbelievers and won't believe anything. We're supposed to leave them alone. Tell them about the gospel and then leave them alone. But these seals are given to us for one thing, and that's to reveal Christ. Where? Where? In us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That scripture's been spoken for 2,000 years. Do we really believe that? That the person of Christ is inside of you today, living in you, leading and guiding you into all truth. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Pray for the brother that's coming this weekend. And Brother Luis, there tonight. And Brother Martins. God bless you. Let's sing one verse.
Upon life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll, I fix my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials and fears assail me, storms are gathering old, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice is still the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to Him I all confide. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and Savior, in Him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrow, shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I'm anchored. God bless you. You're dismissed. Be here Sunday for our brother to come speak to. I'm anchored in Jesus.
God bless you.
I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and Savior.